This program is brought to you by the Forbes-featured Freedom Hub Health Plan, the alternative to overpriced and restrictive insurance. The Freedom Hub Health Plan is exactly what you need. By Frequency Medicine Associates, supporting health professionals and laypersons with safe and effective advanced telemedicine-like technology that can scan and help rebalance the root causes of stress and illness. By the Planet Lockdown film, which can be seen on the Freedom Hub's Rumble channel along with many great speakers. And by The Pavilion, a 21st century community hub that brings together many of the disruptive innovations featured by the Freedom Hub, including direct pay healthcare, farm-to-table dining, TED-like Freedom Hub talks, and more. Visit your-mp.com/pavilionsolution for details. It is November 17th. This is the Freedom Hub podcast. I'm Jim Graypeck, joined by my amazing co-host, Charles, who is not feeling so well today. But today we have a great show, very interesting and controversial, I am sure. For those of you who are new to the site, let me show you the website we're at. We're just talking about sharing the screen. I will pull it up. It is called your-mp.com, and you can go here, find out who we have coming up to speak, who we've had, where you can find everything. Go to the home tab, down to webinars, and you will see who we have here. On Wednesday, our health, biz, and politics show, and Thursday is the Freedom Hub show, more controversial, out-of-the-box speakers. Little bit on the bios of the people, what they're talking about, and down below, you can see where these will be posted, generally by the weekend or certainly Monday. BitChute, Brighteon, I suspect like not today, YouTube, not for today's show. That's for the tame ones. And then you can subscribe up here at the top, and I do recommend that. So at least you get the notices and then you can sign up. So with that, I will stop the share and turn it over to you, Charles, to introduce our guest and the topic.
Thanks, Jim. When I met Michael at the Virginians for Medical Freedom Alliance event in Richmond a couple months ago, and you know, you see that phrase John Birch Society, you can either be a mass formed brainwashed guy and just dismiss it because you're supposed to, according to the mainstream narrative. Or if you're a self-thinking person and you have brain capacity around skepticism, you could maybe talk to the person and find out what they really are up to. For some of us, we may have relatives that were in this famous anti-communist organization over the past generation or two, including my grandfather, Charles Frohman, you know, a paper manufacturer of some repute back in the 1950s, who was invited by Eisenhower to head up his education bureaucracy. And good for my Taft Republican grandfather, Frohman, he refused. He goes, I don't want any federal involvement in education. And apparently he was a Bircher and one of the more influential ones. So I have a lot of pride about the orneriness of my family over the generations. We took a different path, very patriotic, very happy about that. But after the Second World War, this organization ramped up to fight communist infiltration. And, you know, despite the narrative dismissal of the seriousness of that threat, it was and still is a threat. And it comes under different names. And the America First movement goes back before World War II. I think President Harding ran on that platform and won by a landslide and was very popular. And there were other America Firsters in the 20s and 30s, and it's back. People are thinking about that phrase and what it means, especially as the COVID hysteria has awakened most self-thinking people to the threat from the global elitists, most recently in the form of the World Health Organization, which in conjunction with the G20 meeting, I think yesterday, just announced a effort to use the vaccine passports that are up and running in half the states to limit international travel to those who have complied with these dangerous experiments. And specifically with the WHO, there is an effort to centralize pandemic response authority under that globalist dangerous organization, taking it away from the national governments around the world. And then privately through the Wall Street edifice, we know about the ESG scheme to limit loans to companies that comply with the carbon footprint limit on our energy use, the social woke censorship of any independent thought, or the governance that's trying to marginalize patriotic thinking. And, you know, we know there's a culture war going on behind even that. So Michael, for more than a couple of decades, has been coordinating field work for this old eminent organization that he's going to update us on. And with that, Michael, take it away. And then, as usual, we'll have Q&A afterwards to see where this goes.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Charles. And I certainly appreciate the opportunity. You made a lot of good points just in your introduction. A lot of truth there. The John Birch Society, as many of you may know, has been around since 1958. And while initially its main focus was on communism, over time, it certainly expanded. We talk a lot about the dangers of globalism, the dangers of course, unconstitutional government. That ultimately is our goal, is to build an electorate that understands and desires constitutionally limited government in the tradition of our founding fathers. And we have drifted far and wide from that. There are no silver bullets to solving this problem. The John Birch Society has always pointed out, and there's a lot of material out there, but the problem ultimately is one of education. And our goal, of course, is to build that informed electorate that wants constitutional government first and foremost. The only thing that's going to get us out of this mess is more of us. And that is not going to happen overnight. If there's a silver lining in all of the crazy things we've experienced over the last couple of years, it's that millions of people are now awake and aware of what's going on and now interested. I've been at this now for 24 years full-time working for the society. And I've never seen this many people upset, aware, wanting to do something. There are some dangerous things out there as well, tangents we would call them, where people can get drug off into some very unproductive things. But with that, I think if we're going to solve these problems, we've got to know how we got into this mess, what we're up against. And there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of things going on out there that a lot of people are not aware of. I would imagine in this room, most of you are probably more than aware of this. So I made myself a few notes to keep myself on track. So if you don't, if you'll indulge me, I'd like to share these thoughts with you. The mantra of these radicals from top to bottom, I think was really summed up by Rahm Emanuel. I forget what position he held in the Obama administration. But he said, you never let a crisis go to waste. And that's really how these characters operate. And I've added to that, you never let a crisis, real, imagined, or ginned up, go to waste. Social engineers create the crisis and the solution. The latest solution is a great reset. They create this in the same globalist laboratory. Build Back Better is another name for this great reset as well. War and social engineering, wrapped in the guise of education, have been the most effective means for advancing this long march towards global governance. in the United States, this has been going on since the Civil War, at least, with not just Southern society, but the United States as a whole, via blocks of what would be called Reconstruction. Over time, we've been reset from a federal republic of states to a giant nation state. This same consolidation process has been occurring in Europe as well. The seeds of mass public education, again, really social engineering, were sown widely at this time. It would grow, bearing ever-increasing fruit after the disasters of World War I and World War II. An important part of that fruit is a dependence on government at all levels as a solution. This is how we ended up with the United Nations. You know, initially they tried to do this after World War I with the League of Nations. That didn't fly here in the United States, but they did get it after World War II. The World Health Organization is a tentacle of the United Nations. Crisis, war, plague, et cetera, has been used as the means to break down people psychologically to the point that we will accept ever-increasing amounts of government, hence less freedom, as the solution to what ails us. While we still have actual war occurring, other crises such as so-called climate change and now COVID and who knows what's coming up soon are used in the same manner. The only solution that will stop this long march ultimately toward global governance is exposure, which is something you're obviously involved in, something the John Birch Society has been involved in since the 1950s. And we do it via education. We also must never let a crisis go to waste. People are awake and aware, and we must strike while the iron is hot and take advantage of the fact that untold millions of people are now at least mildly awake and aware of our plight. One of the things that the John Birch Society has done over the years is organize patriots and give them some productive activism, educational activism to engage in. It's simply not enough to just be informed. It's what we do with that information really that counts. And there are effective ways of doing it and not so effective ways of doing it. Part of the brilliance of our founder, Robert Welch, was he recognized that much of what the radical left has done over time, while it may be evil in terms of what they are promoting, the tactical way about which they go about replicating themselves is actually quite wise. They use education. They work in concert. They push an agenda. They're very you know, they do so in a very devout way. But much of what they do is done through education. I'm always reminded as a Christian of the biblical verse in Proverbs. You train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, I think that the radicals recognize that as well and use that very effectively. Hence their efforts to go after the young through education. It's even a plank in the Communist Manifesto, which was, I think, produced in 1848. So they've been at it for quite a while. The trick they employ nowadays, of course, is that, you know, education is broken and we need more money and this, that, and the other thrown at it. When in reality, particularly at the federal level, there is no constitutional authority for publicly financed education. That's something that came up, I think it was in the Carter administration. Initially, the so-called conservatives, the Republicans, opposed it. I think it was even a plank in their platform for a number of years to abolish the Department of Education. But within a relatively short time, it was the Republicans that gave us No Child Left Behind. They've come to just accept that. Not that the John Birch Society is opposed to education, it's just that's not something that the federal government was delegated by the states to do. if an individual state wants to tackle that, that's up to the people of that state and then to whatever degree they deem worthwhile. But the left has managed to use education really as a weapon of mass destruction. And this really lays at the root of the problem. So that's something that the society is constantly trying to help people understand. To take a sidestep, I know when you put out the notice, one of the things that you wanted to talk about was the World Health Organization. And as it so happens, we put out an alert to our members probably a couple months ago. I don't see a date on it, but I know we've been at it for a while, to contact their representatives and others. Of course, we need to get other people to do this as well to be effective, to stop and defund the World Health Organization. And I thought I would share that with you as well. And if I'm being long-winded, just let me know. So this is the text of the alert that went out. Urgent. The World Health Organization released a working draft of its proposed pandemic treaty. This draft would be a major step toward world government. It emphasizes solidarity, meaning intensified international cooperation, and it floats increased collaboration and cooperation across the United Nations system and other international and regional intergovernmental organizations and non-state actors and bodies as a means of strengthening the agreement's implementation. Furthermore, it promotes universal health coverage and could threaten free speech. Last but not least, the WHO stated that it could expand the agreement's scope to go beyond pandemics and be implemented at the UN level. And it goes on to more details about why this legislation is dangerous. And then it, of course, directs our members and others who use our site to communicate with their representatives that the solution for Congress, whose pandemic treaty must be stopped, and Congress must act. First, it must enact H.R. 419. The No Taxpayer Funding for the World Health Organization Act. As implied by the title, the bill would end all U.S. funding for the World Health Organization. The U.S. is one of the largest funders of the WHO, giving $700 million in 2020 and 2021. So H.R. 419 would have a significant impact in hampering the WHO's power grab. Second, Congress must reintroduce and pass the American Sovereignty Restoration Act to fully withdraw the U.S. from the United Nations and every associated entity like the World Health Organization, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You might find it interesting to know that almost from the beginning, the John Birch Society has had as one of our main programs for our members to engage in a Get Us Out of the United Nations campaign. And that's one of the things that we were attacked over early as being, paranoid crazies, maybe even deplorable for being against world peace and whatnot. But we've been aware of this situation for quite some time and have done innumerable articles, produced quite a number of books and various other things over the years about the dangers of this attempt at enacting global government. Much of that is being done through regionalization, through regional blocks. We've talked about that often. Some of that through trade agreements, the most recent being the USMCA, United States, Mexico, Canada agreement, which unfortunately, President Trump pushed through. The guy that he had as his chief negotiator on it, I think his name was Robert Zoellick, if I remember right. He's a longtime globalist, member of the Council on Foreign Relations. These trade agreements, of course, are very dangerous. Economic union always precedes political union. And they've pushed these in the United States, of course, Europe. This is how they ended up with the EU, ultimately. It started out as a trade pact. I think it was a agreement on coal or something like that initially. Et cetera, et cetera. So a little bit of groundwork, a little bit of background on just one of the things that we're working on. And with that, I'm sorry, I got a little bit off course there, but I'll turn it back over to Charles and see if anybody has anything else to add.
Do you want to share a screen, Michael, and show us that alert?
Yeah, most certainly. One of the things that is available through our website, let's see here, our members are able to communicate with their representatives through our webpage, through this section called Take Action. You would drop down, go to action alerts. We send out a lot of alerts as well via text and email. So, you know, you could go to federal alerts, click on that. And there's a whole host of things that we're working on. These are some of the latest: prevent unconstitutional wars, get us out of NATO. We have no business meddling in the affairs of other countries and getting ourselves involved in Ukraine or something like that, for example. NATO is a problem. Again, it's a subsidiary of the United Nations. Most people don't know that. Gold Standard Restoration Act, you know, get us out of the USMCA, as I just mentioned, police federalization, et cetera, et cetera. If you were to scroll down, you'd see that a little while back, we published this one on the World Health Organization, some of which I just shared with you from the text. So our members would read this over. They would click on this Take Action tab. And if my computer was working right, it would pull it up. There it goes. They'd enter their contact information. This is the beauty of it. We try to get other people, non-John Birch Society members, to do it as well. But once you've done it enough, it pulls up, or one of our researchers writes the text of the emails. So you're able to modify them, personalize them if you would like. Person would read that over just based on their address, would show you who their representatives are. You hit the submit button, and your email's been sent to all three of them. You could even follow up, if you so desired, with a phone call or record a video and share it with them. You can share the link with others via social media. We've got this available at the state and federal level. We produce scorecards as well under our magazine's website. The New American, which is something that you might be interested in. Let's see if I can get out of there. It's important, although sometimes it might seem fruitless to communicate with our representatives. I think it's still important that we do so and get them on record, as well as get other people to do it. You know, it's not enough that it's just us. We ourselves have to be out motivating other people to do likewise if we're going to have any sort of an effect. Again, the solution is education. We need more patriots engaging in these sort of things. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you.
Michael, talk about that, what you just mentioned, getting out. So I met you at your booth at the Virginia Medical Freedom Alliance. You know, a lot of folks think the emails to politicians is fruitless, but, you know, a lot of us still promote that because, just as you said accurately, it's important to get them on record so that you can make the scorecard and show people at these events like you attended, here's the scorecard of your politician. They don't support health freedom. Or they respect your rights. And you made the comment that the Great Awakening is happening. There's some scale with the numbers of patriots out there that are suddenly caring about this limited government republic we were given by our founders. How important is it, in your opinion, to show up at those events, rent out a booth, distribute literature, you know, coalescing with other groups to educate them?
Well, I think it's very important that we network, that we link arms on things that we agree on. You meet new people. I met you there. I've met, I don't know how many people over the last year at these events. I had a booth at the state fair. I was actually surprised that they let us put up a booth, but I met a lot of people there, made a lot of really good contacts, new people, a lot of them newly awakened. I was able to get out a lot of material. We produce a lot of great stuff. I tried to get their contact information. I try to get them involved, put them on an email list, try to share what it is that we're doing and why. You're probably doing a lot of the same things. I've been doing this for a long time. This was not the case, 20 years ago, say, when the Patriot movement was very small. In fact, in some ways, I come to think it was just the John Birch Society often. It's a different world that we're operating in now. Again, there's a lot of bad stuff out there hanging over the top of us, but it's caused an awakening of sorts. It's crucial that we link up and that we work together. The left, they're very effective because they do this so well. They're able to put aside differences and work together for a common cause, which just unfortunately happens to be taking away our freedom. If we don't do likewise, that's exactly what's going to happen.
I'll turn it over to you, Jim. Before I do, in chat, I'll put a link for folks to join my monthly National Health Federation Zoom noon Eastern Friday, where we'll have as one of our speakers, James Roguski, who's been sort of a point person on the grassroots opposition to the World Health Organization centralization scheme that Michael mentioned. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Hey, Paul, do you need to leave? I'll let you go first if you want.
Whatever order you would like, I will work with.
Okay. Let me ask a few questions and I'll bring you. So I have a couple of questions for you, Michael, and that is, I mean, just going back many years, you know, I remember growing up and hearing about the John Birch Society, but generally in a negative way, right? You guys were the very weirdos so. Or outsiders.
Extremists.
You know, yeah. Extremists, exactly. So I'm wondering kind of how you got that reputation, since it sounds like you're doing good stuff, right? Certainly today, but I'm just wondering if that was also like the intelligence machine pushing out like conspiracy theory, you know, and making up terms or blackballing you, whatever it was, if that's where a lot of it came from, if you even know, or other reasons. I also kind of was curious where your funding was coming from, if it's kind of more grassroots or you have a couple of big families or, you know, something there behind you that are patriots and on that. And I'll talk to you later about organizing. I have some thoughts. We had a great guest on yesterday, Kelly Gallagher, who has been producing, helping put some of these big films together like Vaxxed, Plandemic, got me involved. Also, I co-produced my other hat, Planet Lockdown. So, we're kicking around some ideas that there might be some synergies between these producers and what's coming out and you guys. So, but why don't you start with like the reputation and where this has come from?
Yeah, well, of course, the society back when you started in 1958. So got the, what I think was a legitimate, Red Scare going on. Well, there were reasons, big time, for concern. And our founder was very bold in pointing those things out, where American politicians were in bed with communists or communist sympathizers, the radical left, and the potential there was there for problems. Now, of course, this has been going on way longer than most people even realize. And a lot of this has come out later. A lot of the things that Joseph McCarthy, for example, would talk about when the Venona Papers were released, when the Soviet Union collapsed, there was a lot of that in there. I can't recall anything specific at the moment, but it's a good rabbit hole to go down just to see kind of what was going on there. Well, that was the, that's what was going on when the society was created in 1958. Robert Welch would write, along with a lot of our other writers, about some of the problems we were having with State Department officials and things like that, particularly in regards to communism and communism's march through the world, basically, at the time, and started to have an effect. We picked up a lot of members. The 1960s were probably where we had peak membership. I don't know the numbers or remember the numbers, but it was significant enough to where we started getting smeared in the press at the time. The Jumper study boldly to this day talks about the fact that there are conspiracies. There are people up to no good. They do work in secret. They do want to take away your freedom. They talk about it themselves. So our writers and researchers would expose them. This is what they said at such and such an event or in such and such a book or magazine. Put it out there for our members and encourage them to contact their representatives. We're not going to put up with this stuff. So the press, which was, the problems that we're having with them today is nothing new. This has been going on way longer than most people realize. Would attack the society, accuse us of extremism, accuse us of paranoia, being conspiracy theorists, things like that. Sandwich smear us, the John Birch Society and other radical organizations like the Ku Klux Klan and the American Nazi Party, need to be shoved to the side or whatever. That sort of a thing. Well, we have nothing in common with these folks whatsoever. That continues today. We've all probably been smeared at one time or another with that sort of stuff. Well, they do it because it works.
I was going to say, it sounds like Project Mockingbird.
Exactly. Yeah, that's great. That's exactly very, very accurate. So that's where we picked up the reputation. And it's interesting, over the years, I've run into people that actually, to show you how bad sometimes the misinformation gets, I've had people try to join that thought we were a communist organization. They had heard somewhere along the line that, John Birch Society was a communist organization. That happened too often, but it has happened before. I've had people with racial hangups try to join because they've heard that smear. It's not definitely not the case. So it's something that we battled against for decades now. When it started to lose its effect, they just started giving us the silent treatment. They just didn't talk about us. We were completely ignored. And it's been that way up until relatively recently, where again, if you were to Google the John Birch Society, most of the initial things that would come up would be negative. And sort of backhanded compliments in a way. They blame the Trump phenomena on the, this all reminds us of the days of the John Birch Society, blah, 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 blah. That sort of a thing. So we still deal with it to a degree, but we've been able to march past that. Funding wise, most of our income comes in a couple of ways. Annual membership dues make up a portion of it. It's a membership-based organization. We have some members that give monthly contributions, sort of a freedom tithe. And then we've got donors. Unfortunately, not nothing where we're getting the massive amounts of money from individuals. We never seem to be able to hook up with anybody like that, unfortunately. Of course, we don't get foundation money or anything like that. But that's how we financially are able to support ourselves. Individual membership dues, monthly contributions, and we've got a fundraising team that does go out and raise money. we'd always like more. So if you know somebody, let me know.
we'll talk later. Paul, sorry. Speak up.
Well, listen, thank you very much for that. I think we'd like to join hands with you and start working together, because I actually get on Zoom every day at 8 o'clock in the morning with James Roguski. And so he and Rima Labo from Natural Health Solutions have started an effort, and I'm going to just quickly show you what that effort is. But it's very much in line with what one of your posts were about the World Health Organization. So let me go ahead and just share my screen. I cannot. I'm disabled. Can I get that ability? And then you'll be able to see PreventGenocide2030.org. I'm just trying right now. It says host disabled, participant screen sharing.
Hold on.
You might have to make me some kind of a host or co-host or something.
Yeah, I did. I don't know what happened.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. Give it a shot now.
All right, I'll give it a shot right now. And so now I can do it. Okay, great. So I'm just going to go into Firefox and won't take very long at all. Here is Prevent Genocide 2030, and essentially we have a very simple message, and it's very similar to yours. We have to realize that UN Agenda 2030 equals Genocide 2030. That's exactly what's going down here. So we need to stop the shots, eliminate Agenda 2030, exit the WHO and the UN. These are the action steps. And so how do we get it done? Well, we have a whole platform here, Embracing Health Freedom, very similar to what Charles is pushing. But we put it right there so everybody can read. This is James. He's a great. You'll have a really good time on Friday. He's led the charge back in May. You have to realize that there's two things going on. There is the pandemic treaty that everybody talks about, and there's the editing of the international health regulations, which is happening very quietly. And so we were able to get in the middle of that in May. We got a lawsuit filed into London, and we had African countries come out against it. And this is all the efforts of Roguski just trying to talk to the world and say, come on, this is bad stuff. We want to get in the middle of it. And we got all 13 dismissed in May. So we're gearing up now for the next round. And so we have a whole bunch of actions like you have. But one extra thing we do is that we are able to leverage Salsa Engage in order to get our own custom action list. So when you take an action, like here's 6 active actions right now. We just put one up in French for Canadians. The Canadians have sent over 4 million emails out on this presenting preserving their national sovereignty. So we get to explain a little bit what's going on. And then when you get to the next step, you get to a whole custom action set. So we don't depend on the tool to manage who gets it and who doesn't. We actually send it out to 424 people here that have been pre-selected. And we are doing this for countries all over the world. So we had a South Africa action, and we've had someone in Italy and some other places. So, I mean, a lot of ways, what we're trying to be here, at least on the World Health Organization issue, is kind of like a rebranding of the John Birch Society, JBS for the win. And we want to actually take that across the world, because we all have to preserve our national sovereignty. And this is what this is designed to take over. So we tried to do that by reaching out and motivating groups to mount their own action. I'm kind of the tech guy behind the scenes, making the WordPress work and hooking things up in Salsa. But what we're doing is we're multiplying the numbers of actions that can be taken all over the world. So when you go there, there's also very good information. For example, they have written exactly what they want to do. This is from 2015, right here. And we're annotating what these words actually mean. They have all this really nice language that makes you think that the World Health Organization and the United Nations are all doing the right thing with Agenda 2030. Well, the answer is no. This is all marching towards totalitarianism. And once you understand and you actually see what the words truly are, you get it. They've been open about it for a long, long time. They've just used nice little words that don't mean what you think they mean. All right? And so they are really here. They got a lot of people to voluntarily take these shots, and that is going to affect the rest of their lives. Should you continue with the shots? Well, absolutely not. That's clearly what's going on. So I just want to introduce this thing. James is all over this site. We have a blog. We do a bunch of other stuff. We're much leaner than the John Birch Society, but we really do admire your staying power and what you've been able to do over the years. And we'd love to link arms and be able to, you know, get some of these actions in front of your constituents. So that's enough. I think I'll stop sharing.
Thanks, Paul. Good stuff. Comments, Michael?
I think that's great stuff. I'm going to do a deep dive on that website. That's definitely something that I could share with my members in my particular territory.
Yeah, the link is in the chat, so feel free to just grab it from there if you want.
Yeah. Now, are you based in Canada?
No, we're based here in the United States. I'm in Northern California. Roguski's in Southern California, and Rima Labo is in Tucson, Arizona. And so, but we get together with people from Malaysia and Africa and all over the world that show up at these 8 a.m. calls, and you're welcome to join anytime you want. We'll give you the Zoom link and come on in. I mean, we are just inviting everybody to do the great work that Charles is working on and you're working on and everybody's working on. We just need to link arms and be as effective as possible, because it is really true. The Patriots need to step forward and protect their freedoms. And we're all 100% for everybody doing that, no matter what the background was, whatever the branding was. Who cares? It's what you're doing today that matters.
Is that 8 a.m. Pacific?
8 a.m. Pacific, yeah. What part of the country are you in?
I'm in Virginia.
Oh, so, perfect. Easy for you.
Eastern. Yeah, 11. not as early.
It used to be 7 a.m. I had to fight for it to go to 8 a.m.
What part of Virginia, Michael?
I am in Chesterfield County, just south of Richmond.
Okay. And do you have an email on the website that's easy, or do you want to put it in chat? Or?
Yeah, we'll post it. We'll get it up there at the end.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Cool. Great. Thank you. Great work.
Jim, I think you called my name. I'll share something really quick too, to get in on the action. I'll share this again on our Friday call, but at the nhf.com/campaigns, on the second page, you'll see one of our campaigns. I sometimes I'll combine issues, not only to stop the ceding of a pandemic authority to the WHO, but I also combined opposition to a bill that would nationalize state vaccine tracking, which was stopped in Congress, but it was well on its way. What we do for the WHO is we support two bills, one to stop funding and one to stop membership in the WHO. We want to stop the House passed bill here that would nationalize vaccine registries, which now are a state matter, because all government databases can leak. So you lose your privacy. You don't know how they're going to use it with a passport to coerce a certain behavior. And we're also looking for Rand Paul's bill, which would stop the national patient ID. And then we have a secondary project for your state politicians to oppose various vaccine coercion efforts. I'll stop sharing there. I'll put that in chat. But, you know, we're all working together. And for purposes of this Zoom today, let's all especially help Michael's JBS website. Michael, if you can put that website where folks can send your emails in the chat, especially, I think that way they can click it, open it, and send an email to help you guys out for today's event.
Yeah, let me pull that up.
While you do that, I think owner, you listed yourself as owner. If you want to unmute yourself, I think you had a comment about something you saw from NBC back in the 60s against the society.
Yeah. Tom Crawford's the name. I remember reading once about a profile that NBC did on the John Birch Society in the 1960s. And if I remember correctly, the Society was never contacted by NBC for information. Instead, when it actually aired, it contained a lot of the same sort of misinformation that the Communist Party was spreading about the society, and that makes a disturbing suggestion about who NBC went to for its source of information.
Yeah, and back in the 60s too.
Yeah, that's been going on for, thanks, Tom. That's been going on for quite some time, as we talked about earlier with the media. I'm trying to get this stuff posted in chat. I'm sorry.
I will put your website up also on the beginning of that film, the video when it's posted. So that's the first thing people will see. So I want everyone that's, you know, anybody watching, all of our programs, the videos that are posted, have the speaker and the website right up front. So you can just go there if you're missing it or need it anytime on our Rumble channel or somewhere else.
Charles Ford, did you want to comment on communism? I know you're always full of strong opinions that want to keep you out of this show. He might be too busy to hear my invitation. If anyone,
I'm here, else, guys. I'm sorry, I was hitting the wrong button. I'm just technologically challenged. My apologies. The whole deal is, if you go back to the origin of the John Birch Society, does anybody in this Zoom actually know how it was started? It's a very interesting history. Who was he? Well, he was in the military, and he was running guns to what is today Jilin Province in China to help the nationalist Chinese combat the communist Chinese. And he was caught and shot by the communist Chinese. I just thought I'd throw that out there as a historical footnote for anybody that's interested. As far as the health thing is, guys, I agree with everything you're doing, and I think you're right, okay? Having said that, I think don't take your eye off the real ball. And the real ball is simply this. If we're going to have health reform in this country that's lasting, we're going to have to recreate a free market. That means the end of the AMA, the end of mandatory health insurance. It means the end of all these statistical certificates of need, which restrict the growth of supply. We're going to have to bust the big pharma into 1,000 different pieces, just as Kennedy once said he would do with the CIA. And I think at the end of the day, until we can get to the point where we have the lever that can institute some of those changes, we can win some battles. You know, the South won a lot of battles in the Civil War, but they ultimately succumbed to Northern genocide. And we will follow in that tradition if we don't find ways to go deal with the real problem. And the real problem is the absence of a free market.
Yeah, that's a cogent point. You know, some of us are erecting that alternative market right now. I would also add, Michael, maybe you can comment on this. It's not just about getting out of the UN, it's probably ending the Fed, you know, which is the spigot of the globalist banks or financing. I'm not sure how active you guys are ending the Federal Reserve as, you know, one of the bigger panaceas to start.
It's been a major issue for us for quite some time. Yeah, you might find this interesting. If you've ever read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin, Ed Griffin was our chief spokesman for decades. And our research department, from what I understand, compiled the information for him to put that book together. That's a John Birch Society book. Wow. And in the Fed, that's a big one. 1913, not a good year. You had the Federal Reserve, you had the income tax, and you had the 17th Amendment. That's kind of a nasty hat trick foisted on America. But ending the Fed is definitely got to be part of what happens to set things straight.
So well said. Jim, shall we invite Michael to say a last word and say how folks can reach him?
Yeah, I think so.
Again, I appreciate the opportunity. I can be reached a couple of ways. My email address is msmart@jbs.org, or you're welcome to give me a call. My cell number is 804 614-5183. We've got active chapters. I'm not sure where everybody lives, but there are field reps for myself all across the country. I cover all of Virginia, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. We have active chapters in Petersburg, Richmond, Newport News, Virginia Beach, Matthews County, Fredericksburg, and Springfield. And we've got budding chapters in Chesterfield and northern and another part of Northern Virginia, more out towards Manassas. And then I've got individual members scattered all over hither and yon. And I've got a chapter up on the Maryland-Delaware border. I see that my chapter leader is Joe Tropp has been listening in. So I want to thank him for taking the time out of his schedule to listen in on this. You're more than welcome if you want to talk shop, see what's going on, you know, commiserate together. You're more than welcome to give me a call.